Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Steve Winter, who is a serial entrepreneur and currently the founder of Astounds, one of Houston's leading SEO and web marketing agencies. From 1997 to 2013, Steve founded and led Ergos Technology, an outsourced IT consulting firm founded in Houston. Thanks so much for joining us today, Steve.
I'm glad to be here.
Great. So let's dive into a couple questions so the listeners can get to know you a little bit. So to start, what really motivates and inspires you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
You know, I enjoy the service business and what we do. We provide a very good value, a needed, you know, and a very needed service for our clients. And it's a lot of fun. You know, I have a lot of friends that are clients and a lot of clients that are friends. And
that's,
you know,
the best
it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's fun seeing us have a positive impact on their business.
Yeah. Well, that's so awesome. And how did you get into digital marketing?
Yeah, it's kind of funny there. So as you said in my introduction, I started a managed services company back in 96 that I sold back in 2010 and stayed with them for 3 or 4 years. And from that, I started doing real estate and some other things. And I have friends in the commercial real estate business and one who's another serial entrepreneur in many ways, too. And he approached me that they were looking at maybe doing an SEO business. And I said, no way. I get all the emails you get. I'm not about to do SEO.
Yeah.
And they said, well, just come listen to us, see what it is. And they were licensing the SEO methodology out of a group out of Dallas. So I went up with them and actually did really like what they were doing and how they were doing it, because SEO, it's hard to explain if you don't know it, and especially in layman's terms. And from this, so long story short, I went in partnership with these guys and we started Astounds. And, you know, for the first year, we were licensing methodology out of a group out of Dallas. And then we broke off and started doing it all on our own. We learned a lot from it and it gave us a good story. And I told my partners they were going to do it part time. I said, I'm going to go after it full time. And if we can sell 20 accounts in our first 6 months or so, then I'll run after it full time. Well, in the first 6 months, we sold 42 accounts, of which I sold 40 of them or 41 of them. Wow. And realized that there was a need out here for what it is that we are doing. And so the rest is history.
That's so awesome. And then, so how do you guys kind of set yourselves apart from other agencies?
We're very, you know, probably overuse words sometimes, but we're very transparent. Our SEO pricing is on our website. Mm-hmm. We guarantee it 100% and we don't require any long-term contracts. We want our clients with us because they like us and we're providing value. It's that simple. So, you know, it's a very easy sell, you know, and you know, the other thing is too, they've got to trust you. And if you look at our Google reviews, you know, you see all 5-star reviews out there and you can tell that they are real reviews because of what the wording is and all. And, you know, we live in a review world, as you know, and, you know, it's, and so, you know, we really, you know, our mission statement is very simple. It's to astound our clients and,
love it.
You know, and so, I've always been very simple in what I do and I make it where it's very easy for our employees and customers to know what we do, right? And you know, we try, you know, our tagline, one search, one click, one company. We, you know, we want people to find you in one search. We want them to get where they can get to on your website, one click, and we do it all.
Love it. That's awesome. And what are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
You know, in anything right now, we're growing and finding good employees is always a challenge. It's, you know, that's always a challenge. And, in what we're doing, but it's just managing growth right mm-hmm. now, which is great. You know, knock on wood, during the pandemic, we've grown. More people have gone to the web than not, obviously, in the world we're living in today. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's just trying to manage growth and making sure that, you know, things don't fall through the cracks and we get websites done in a timely manner. And, you know, the hardest thing we do is getting content from our clients. Most of our content, especially our SEO content, we write. We don't wait on the client, but for their marketing messaging and things like that, we have to rely on them for a lot of it. And so it's just getting their feedback and timing to get the websites built in a timely manner.
Okay, interesting. So if you had one growth tip you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
I don't know if it's a growth tip, but it's what I build both of my businesses on. I call them RBEs. Recurring billable events. And that's why I like SEO. That's why I did managed services. We were doing managed services before managed services was cool in my prior business. Cool. You know, at the beginning of each month, I'm not having to worry about going and building a bunch of new sales because we don't have any revenue coming in. We already have revenue coming in because of all of our recurring revenue around our SEO work.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah, that makes so much sense. It's so smart to just, you know, focus only on the recurring billable services that you offer and just focus on delivering great work.
And you get a lot of project work. We get a lot of it, you know, because of the fact we have recurring and we don't do one-time work. The only reason we do the one-time work is because it's got the recurring element to it.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. So today I'd love to pick your brain on a few things related to running an agency. And yeah, I just look forward to learning more about some things that you found have worked really well and also maybe some lessons that you've learned along the way. So to start off, I'd love to talk about sales a little bit. So do you have any tips for proactively bringing new leads into your agency?
Yeah, sales is it's always been interesting. So we're unique probably in what we do, but I've got my chief marketing officer, Lisa, who had a web development company that we rolled into our company several years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now. And as I joke about it, I've got the Catholic community covered. She's got the Jewish community covered. And, you know, I've got Little League and other things, but both of us are out there all the time. I'm in two breakfast clubs that meet every week. So Tuesdays and Fridays, I'm at River Oaks Country Club here in Houston, mm-hmm. Meeting with, and we've got 100 people from about 110 members in each of them. And it's one person from industry, mm-hmm. but that's just one heck of a network. And I joke about our Catholic community. My boys play Little League baseball and, you know, most of those people who can coach or business owners, they were great prospects. So, you know, as one of my, a lady that I worked with very early on in my early career, she had a thing above her desk and it said, expose yourself. And, you know, but that's it. You've got to get out there and network get out there. But it's one of those sayings that, you know, consultative selling is difficult. It's not easy. You got to, you know, you have to know your product. You got to know what you're doing. And mm-hmm. the probably the greatest, if I've got, you know, an advantage or a capability or whatever, it's being able to explain technology in very plain English. With mm-hmm. my managed services business and with this business, I'm able to sit down with a lay person, walk through what we do, how we do it, and explain it where it's easily understood. I think that's been a critical advantage in what we've got. But yeah, my other company that I sold is now probably a $40 or $50 million a year managed services company, one of the largest privately held, still only has a couple of salespeople in it.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah. I think it's so important to just know your audience and be able to speak in a way that resonates with them and that they can easily understand. So how do you stop prospects from procrastinating and close the sale?
Yeah. Because I can walk away and not worry about them that I think they'll come back. We tell our story. We have a very compelling story. We've got very compelling reviews and those types of things. We follow up with our clients, but we're very, very soft sell in what we do. We're very confident. We're very confident in what we can do. We're very confident in what we can deliver. And so, you know, and thankfully we have, you know, knock on wood, a lot of business and a lot of new business coming at us all the time. And it's because we're you know, we provide a very good service and we stand behind what we're going to do. We guarantee it 100%. So, you know, I think that approach has really helped us a lot. Truthfully, you know, if someone's on the fence or whatever else, or very reluctant, it's a hard business and it takes time. And if someone needs instant gratification out there, especially with organic SEO, you're not going to get it instantly. Typically, it's going to take time. As the great analogy is like working out, you're not going to get in shape overnight. Okay. And if you stop working out, you're not going to stay in shape either. Yeah. And so, you know, SEO is the same thing. It takes time to build it and then you have to stay on top of it.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I really like that. And then, so what has been the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome when growing your agency?
I think everything is staffing. Back in the day, I had a staffing company before we were doing managed services, we were doing IT staffing. And, you know, we're smaller right now. And with that business, I always had a recruiter on staff full time.
Interesting.
You know, my biggest challenge right now is to get us now big enough again here where I've got a full-time recruiter on that's helping with, they can help with HR and bookkeeping and other things and all that. But you always need to be recruiting if you can. And, you know, paying 20 to 30% fees gets to be real expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more we can do it in-house, the better off we are.
Do you hire like VAs or freelancers, or do you guys hire everyone as like, you know, full-time employees in-house?
Yes.
You go with
we've done a little bit of everything, we've got an overseas team that have been absolute rock stars for us. You know, one of our guys is from India that works with us here, who's a great guy. And he's got friends over there. And so we've got a team of four or five people over there that help us. And then I've got my internal team here that's all of our client-facing team with what we do.
Okay. And do you have a preference over, you know, hiring freelancers or VAs versus hiring in-house full-time?
Well, because of what we do, I need a I really like having a team in-house because it's such a collaborative business in what we're doing, doing website builds and doing search engine optimization and doing, you know, social media and these things. It's, you know, you can do it all remotely. I mean, it's a remote world that we live in.
Yep.
And the tools have gotten a lot better, but I'm old school, you know, I'm an old man. So, you know, I still like having face-to-face meetings and being able to walk, you know, across the office and ask someone questions and bounce ideas off of them. You can't do that if everyone's dispersed.
Yeah, it's true. I agree, actually. I think it's nice having people, you know, in the same office. I think you can also be more productive in meetings as well, because you can get more creative when you're like face-to-face with the person. I think staring at a screen for too long kind of can take away from that a little bit. But yeah, it's interesting to have both those parts that you can, you know, do collaboratively.
Yeah.
So what goals or how do your goals and strategy come into play when you're growing your agency?
Well, you know, again, on your growth goals and things like that, you know, you've got to stay focused on what makes you money and, you know, and, you know, good business versus bad business, etc. So, you know, being goal oriented certainly helps a bunch. And I'm like everybody, I probably don't do it enough. You know, the more the team knows, the more they're focused on what it is you're trying to build, the better you're going to do.
So how often do you review your goals and then pivot if needed?
You know, I'm looking, you know, just from a financials and all that, I look at them all the time. You know, I'm always looking at where we are, what we're doing, making changes and things like that. And, you know, in this market, you know, if one thing I've learned, I mean, you know, you've got to morph and change quite a bit. And, you know, just the SEO world changes a bunch, right? And how you do it And technology forces us to change in what we're doing sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any tips for being more efficient and productive in your day-to-day?
You know, you in our business and in what we do, and it's challenging too when I'm hiring people, is we really have to multitask a bunch in what we're doing. And I always try to tell our team, you know, if you get hung up on something or whatever, and it's taking you more than 10 or 15 minutes to do something, raise your hand, ask questions, you know, bring someone else in, whatever, but don't sit there wasting your time on something that, you know, someone else may have a really easy answer to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so, you know, that's, we, in my other company, you know, we had a deal that, you know, that we would send out an email to the whole team. It's like, has anyone ever seen this before? How can you help me? Whatever. And you know, where people don't get hung up, and, you know, and again, staying focused on where you make money. I always with our employees, it's like, you know, yeah, I was on this phone with two, you know, for 2 hours today working on this. It's like, you know, we're not making any money doing that. I always want to take care of the client, but you also have to be prudent about where you're spending your time and where the focus is when you've got this other client that's doing a ton of work with you and everything else, and you're neglecting them for this client over here. Again, it's prioritizing what you're doing, you know, and you know, just being smart with your time.
Yeah, absolutely. So are there any specific processes that you've put in place within your agency to kind of address that?
Yeah, so we use Asana. Which is our, you know, web-based project management tool.
Yeah,
we meet every morning. We meet every morning at 9 a.m. to start the day. And we have a 30-minute meeting. And then we go through every open project and every open ticket we have. You know, we have hundreds of websites. I think this morning we had 20 open tickets. So we're really, really good about staying on top of all of our tickets. But we approach this because of my background in managed services and all that. You know, I had a full help desk. I had 70 or 80 employees. We had full help desk and all that. I've done the same thing here. We have ticketing system. You know, we're creative, but we're also very, very process driven in what we do.
Yeah.
All of our websites are built on the same platform. You know, we typically use, you know, common plugins, where, you know, common build, common everything. So anyone on the team can do it. So that drives a lot of efficiencies, and anyone on the team can jump in and help fix something if we need to in case of any emergencies. But we start every morning with a 9 o'clock meeting. That's typically done within 30 minutes. We know who's going to be working on what project, what task are we on, you know, and the main thing in that one is, you know, is the project on time, or are we running behind? You know, are there any issues that we need to be made aware of so we can attack those, so we don't have problems that we don't know about? As I say, what I hate more than anything are surprises.
Yeah.
And clients don't like surprises, and I don't like surprises.
No.
And so that's what these meetings, you know, whether it's your marriage or your business, communication matters. You know, communication is what matters.
Yes, exactly. And so what tips would you recommend for maintaining happy clients besides overly communicating with them?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's doing what you say you're going to do. And, you know, we always go by, you know, under promise and over deliver. You know, don't go out there and, oh yeah, we can do that. It's like, don't say that, you know, find out exactly what they need. Let's see what we can easily do. And if we've got concerns about something or whatever, we communicate that, but it truly does. It comes down to communication. As long as you let them know what's going on and you're communicating and you don't surprise them. We have very happy clients.
Yeah. And I think really managing their expectations from the start as well, which obviously falls into communication, is such a big part, you know, so that they know exactly what you guys are going to be delivering to them and, you know, when the time frame is. And it just sets those expectations right from the start.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'd love to talk a little bit about your work ethic and what you feel it takes to run a successful agency.
You know, like anything, you know, you try to be an example. I mean, you know, I'm in the office every day in you know, in what we're doing. But more than anything, I tell all of our employees and anyone that starts with us, you'll probably learn more in your first 90 days here than you've learned in the last 3 years. And what I try to do, it's not work ethic, it's mind share and openness and a friendly environment and everyone trying to help each other. And most importantly, trying to help our clients. Okay. And so, you know, and it's the same thing too. It's keeping your word. I mean, if we tell a client we're going to do something, then we need to do it. If we, you know, it's that commitment to whatever our promise is, we need to make sure that we do that. And that, and as the coach or the lead or whatever, that's why we have the meetings. That's why we do what we do. So, you know, I can oversee the company and make sure that we're delivering on our commitments and our promises to our clients, because if we astound them, as we say, that they will refer us and we will get other business from it. And that's proven to be the case all the time. And so, you know, it's in this world we live in, right? It's a texting world. It is an email world. And, you know, but in what we're doing, you're still got to communicate. It's like, pick up the phone. If you're not getting answers, you're not getting whatever, you know, you don't know if your email is going to junk, you don't know what's going on, please call and pick up the phone, you know? And so, you know, that's a commitment, and, you know, that you maintain your commitments and do what you say you're going to do. I mean, that's the kind of the golden rule, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I love that. Yeah. And I think it speaks a lot to your character. You know, if you're one of those people, and then you get remembered as being someone who just says what they're going to do. And it's just so much easier to build trust and build relationships. So I really love that.
Yeah.
So where do you see Astounds in 5 years' time?
That's a great question. You know, we continue to evolve and all that. I think we're just going to, you know, just continue to being more of a full service agency. We're getting into much bigger accounts now. We just did a rollout for one client that had 200 websites for it, public company. And so we're just seeing bigger and better opportunities all the time in what we're doing. And very similar to my past managed services business, it just kind of happens as we, you know, as everyone gains more confidence, we get more referrals, we get greater examples and case studies of what we've done and where we've been successful. Mm-hmm. It's just going to continue to grow. And, you know, like I say, I want a really good core team here in the office, but what we all have to get really good at is project management. And that's, you know, the one key focus is having good project managers that can really scope projects out well, define them well, communicate well with the client. But then some of our overseas partners and other back office, whether it's freelance people or whoever, can help us build and do things. And that's where, you know, is finding those project managers that can really help us grow the business without having to be the business per se. They can really delegate and give good instruction and all, because it's, you know, this is hard. You've got to translate what the client wants. And if you're not building it yourself, you've got to be very good at translating their thoughts and all that to another person to help you build it. But that's how we're going to grow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd love to do an episode and just cover project management, because it's such a big thing. It's really the whole backbone of an agency. So finding good project managers, I agree, is key.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like to add before we begin wrapping up that you think would be helpful to any agency owners who are listening?
No, just watching small businesses and all that, you know, the strategic advantage I have or have had is that I've never been the hands-on technical person. I really know it well, and I know how to manage, but I've been on the sales side. And that's the hardest thing for any group, and truly have been some of my best hires of people that are good technically and think they want to build an agency, and it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a lot of relationships out there. So, you know, if you're going to do it, you've got to step away from the keyboard and get out and be the face of your business if you're going to really try to grow an agency and then put together a great team behind you.
Yeah. You've really got to master and study sales, I think. And then if you get a partner, making sure if you're the technical person, you know, someone who is more of a people person who can tackle the sales side and work on the business instead of in the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions for you. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Probably, well, I've got several of them, but different ones. One was Who Moved My Cheese? Being in the tech world, started off as a staffing company, and I watched my business, evaporate overnight with the dot-com bust and 9/11. Mm-hmm. And that was one book, unfortunately, but I've had my cheese moved several times, and luckily we've come out of it stronger every time.
That's good.
That was a good one. Another one is The Go-Giver.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah, about building relationships and things, and definitely my Breakfast Clubs and my EO groups and all these other things have been phenomenal. For that. And then the last one, an old standby is Good to Great. Getting the right people on the bus and the right seats on the bus. Mm-hmm. Kind of all different facets of different things in life and business there that you take out of those. But those are three that come to mind for me.
Yeah, those are three great recommendations. And yeah, Go-Giver, for anyone who hasn't read it, it's like, it takes you like, I think, 2.5 hours to read from cover to cover. It's such a short but informative read. And it's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah. The other one is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, just as another one about how to make money.
Such a classic.
Really good book. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
had my boys read.
Sorry, go ahead.
As a side, I had my boys read that, and when they were in high school, and they said that they really struggled with economics because I made them read that book, which is different than the textbook version of economics.
Oh, that's so good that you made them read that, though.
Yeah, of assets and liabilities and all that. Distinguishing the true difference, a true asset, an income producing asset versus just an asset. So
Nice. That's awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Like I said, my morning routine, I wish it really needs to. My word for the year, instead of making a New Year's resolution, it's a New Year's word. And my word for this year is shape. I want to make sure that I get everything in great financial shape and also in physical shape. Mm-hmm. Hopefully my morning routine is going to start being a lot more working out that I need to do. But, the morning routine really is, we start our morning from a business standpoint, at 9 o'clock with our company-wide meeting where we go through everything, set the day, set expectations for the day, and go from there. So, we level set the day. We make sure we don't have any big surprises out there and get everyone on the same page for moving forward.
Yeah. That's really interesting about instead of having a New Year's resolution, you have a word that you use. I like that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I really need to read more, but there's really not a CEO, but what I've got is my network that has really been a great sounding board for me. I've got an EO forum, which has been great, for bouncing ideas off of others and all that. Same with my Breakfast Clubs. Yeah. And, anytime I've needed anything, had questions about stuff, it's such a great entrepreneurial network that I've always had. I've had, literally hundreds of CEOs to choose from, depending on what issue I had or where I needed help, et cetera.
Yeah, that's so helpful. That's very powerful to have access to that network.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool. I hate to say it, but it's probably just the whole Google suite of products today.
Yeah. You can do everything. They just make your life so much easier.
And I come from a Microsoft background with my managed services business and everything was Microsoft. And then, as I learned in that business, we're 100% Mac shop for the most part, but the tools that help us out there, Google Drive, I don't have to worry about servers, from Google Mail, but the docs, the thing that I kind of went kicking and screaming into, but the Google Sheets and Google Docs, the collaborative capability of those to be able to share those docs with our clients and, yep, and be able to track changes and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good suite of products.
I know. I love it. It's so true. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
So I've always said it, you know, when I started my career, here I am doing IT consulting businesses and everything else. I did not really come from a consulting background. I didn't work for Anderson Consulting or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have had more consulting experience. It took me a long time to realize how much to bill per hour for things and, you know, how to do it and all that. And then we later on in my IT life, I got with a group called ConnectWise and some others, and there was a great mind share. And, you know, we knew that in, you know, if someone's in Chicago, they're not going to compete with me in Houston. And so we shared best practices. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the thing that I have learned when I started this business, right, we licensed the methodology out of a group out of Dallas to start it. I didn't try to learn it or go do it. I just acquired it. And right, is to find the industry experts, industry, whatever it is around what it is you're doing. They're, yeah, they're always typically great, you know, conventions or things around, you know, that you can be part of, mm-hmm, that you can learn a lot. There's a lot of mindshare out there and a lot of people are happy to help.
Yeah.
And, you know, to leverage that, I could have accelerated my growth considerably early on had I been more open and realized to go look for these things around the industry that you're in.
Yeah, I love that. And I also think, you know, when you're seeking out a mentor or someone to assist with growing your business, thinking big, you know, go to the top of your industry and don't be afraid to, you know, get creative with ways that you can get in front of them and potentially seek out a mentorship.
Yeah. And good and bad, you know, I've never really been after the enterprise work. I've always been in the small business world, but the greatest thing about it is that, and I've had friends that have, you know, sold businesses as I have. And the fact that our business, that we don't have one client that's 80% of our business or 60% of our business, we're so spread out,
yeah,
you know, it has made it very valuable. Because, you know, when it ever comes to selling something or whatever, that we don't have a concentration. And so what I thought was a little bit of weakness ended up being a true advantage when I went to sell my first company.
That's really cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Steve. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.